It's good that we can be together again for the study of the Word, and I trust the Lord will have something real rich for us today that will encourage our hearts as we endeavor to follow Him, which I trust that, oh, most of us at least, are trying to do. Shall we bow our heads together now for a word of prayer? Father, we're grateful that we can come to You today and look once again in Thy Word. We acknowledge before You that we don't understand everything with our finite minds, and so we ask that You'll open the Word that we may be able to understand it. And we confess, Father, that we need You. We can't live without You. We're not capable of it. We thank You for the promise You've given us that You'll never leave us nor forsake us. And so today we ask that Thou wilt meet the need of every heart. There are so many needs, dear Lord, so many kinds of needs. We just pray that You will meet them, remembering that You have that obligation because You've taken it upon Yourself when You said that we should not take anxious thought for the morrow, that You would provide the things that we need. And we look to You to do that. If some are going through testing times right now where they wonder if You're really doing what You said You'd do, we just ask that You'll draw back the curtain and give them a vision of Thyself in a new and a fresh way so that they might know that You really care. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been looking together at what we have referred to as the beginning of the Galilean ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it is recorded in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, beginning with the 12th verse. And since we are going to conclude our thinking today of some of the things that we've been touching on throughout several studies, it might be well for us to refresh our minds about the facts concerning this early ministry. So will you notice with me today, again, the paragraph which begins with verse 12, Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and them which sat in the region and the shadow of death is light sprung up." And we said those verses described one of the characteristics of the Galilean ministry, a certain fulfillment of prophecy. If one were reading this without any reference to the Old Testament, one might think that one day the parents of Joseph just decided to get up and move like we move about today, but not so. It was part of God's divine plan. And then in verse 17 we read, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" And we said this was another characteristic of the Galilean ministry, a continuation of the ministry of John the Baptizer, still preaching the message, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For you see, the king at this moment had not yet been rejected. He had come. He would have been king, but they said, "We have no king but Caesar," and eventually he died on the cross and went back to heaven, where he waits today until the day comes when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. We continue reading here in Matthew chapter 4 with the 18th verse. "Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting their nets into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee the father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with demons, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. He never stood in the midst of human need without meeting it. And there followed him a great multitude of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond the Jordan. We said when we began a discussion of this early Galilean ministry, it was characterized by three things. Two of them we pointed out to you in the reading of the Word, and we've already discussed them with you. We are in the midst of talking about the third characterization of this ministry, a call for full commitment. And that was brought to our attention in the paragraph that began with the 18th verse, when the Lord Jesus Christ called to him four men to follow him. And as we looked at this passage of Scripture here in Matthew's Gospel, along with references in the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, we discovered principles that would guide us in full commitment. And the first principle that we noticed together and discussed somewhat in detail, we described with the phrase, resting on the Word. When the Lord Jesus Christ had borrowed Peter's boat one day and asked him to go out and let him preach, he did, and then he said, now I'm going to pay for the use of your boat. You go out yonder and you let down your net and you'll have the biggest catch you've ever had. And recall with us that Peter said, Lord, I've been out all night and I know there's nothing out there, but, and this is the wonderful thing, nevertheless, at thy word. And he went, and he did indeed have the biggest catch that he had ever heard of. Now, full commitment to the Lord, full commitment, demands resting on his word, believing his word regardless of circumstances, believing his word no matter what is required, no matter how much faith it takes, no matter how much effort it takes in the light of everything that is about, believing on the word. Now, the second principle that we noticed, we described in the words, realizing one's sinfulness. When Peter recognized what had happened, oh, this wonderful catch of fish, and he knew it was a miracle at the hand of God, he said, oh, depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. Full commitment demands that we realize our own sinfulness, our own inadequacies. And we point out again today that when individuals are living close to God, if we may use that comparative phrase, they are more conscious of their own sinfulness. The more we talk about ourselves and our own spiritualities and our own victories, the more we indicate to others that we couldn't be very close to the Lord. Isaiah, remember, when he had the vision of the Lord, didn't go around boasting and bragging, oh, look at me, I've had a special vision of God. He said, oh, God, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amidst the people of unclean lips. Well, we must hurry on because we want you to think with us about this last principle that is related to full commitment, and I've described it in the words, relinquishing all. I suggest that to you because of what I found in Luke chapter 5, verse 11. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I'm being very simple in the ministry of the word. I'm not giving you anything profound. I've given you something very important. I want to make a very simple observation that I've never been able to get away from when I read this story. Before the disciples followed Christ, they brought the boats to land. Did you notice that? They didn't leave any unfinished business behind. Numerous times, people bring reproach upon the name of Christ by leaving a lot of unpaid debts and a lot of unfinished business, and give us a reason they have to do what God tells them to do. They have to follow Christ. My friend, I want to tell you today, He'll wait until you bring the boat back to land. Remember that. You don't have to swim to shore and leave the boats wrecked. Bring the boats back to land, pay all the debts, tie up all the loose ends, and then you'll be able to follow the Lord. You'll notice that Matthew and Mark emphasize what they left when they say they left all. Matthew and Mark emphasize that they left property. They left their nets and their boats. They left their tools of their trade. And they left people, because Matthew and Mark are quick to emphasize that they had to leave their father, whom they love very dearly. And I want to suggest to you that if you observe what is termed a full commitment, it may necessitate changing professions. I don't insist that it will. I don't know, but it may. It may necessitate leaving people. It may necessitate leaving your loved ones. It may necessitate even a misunderstanding with people because you obey His word and you follow where He leads. In the closing seconds we have together, I would like to suggest something else. I wouldn't want to suggest it to you as a principle, but I don't believe that any commitment will be complete until it's done. And I have described that in the words, a definite response. I would like to suggest to you that on the basis of what we've been saying to you, there was an immediate response on the part of each one of these disciples. They held nothing back. And of course, the result of such immediate response, of such full commitment, is the ministry that is tremendously blessed. The Lord Jesus Christ had said to these folk, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And Mark expresses it, "Come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Yes, when our lives are fully committed to the Lord, He makes changes in our lives that equip us for the thing that He would have us to do. May I ask you this question today? Are you fully committed, or are you holding something back? Think about that.